In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, today is the sixth Sunday of the Holy Great Fast. And as we're familiar and accustomed to hearing, the passage is of the man who was born blind. And this blind man, after being abandoned by his parents, said to the Pharisees who accused him of being a sinner, "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." This Sunday is known as the Sunday of Enlightenment, had istinara, or the Sunday of Baptism. And baptism is a means by which we are enlightened, because it is the entryway in which we have communion and fellowship with God through the mysteries of the church and the sacraments of the church. And this gospel today puts before us two types of blindness, both physical blindness and spiritual blindness. And of course, we see the physical blindness is the man who was born blind. He was physically blind, but spiritually he could see very clearly. And we see, on the other hand, we see the Pharisees who can physically see very clearly, but when it came to the obvious spiritual matters, they were very blind. Now, the causes of physical blindness are many. And I'm not a physician, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you what causes physical blindness, but we can just say that there are medical causes, whether, you know, disease or perhaps an injury can cause blindness. And the effect of these injuries can be permanent or temporary. But one thing we can note about the physical aspect of blindness, or a disease in that, for that matter, is that not all disease or blindness is a result of sin or a punishment from God. And this was made very clear from the very beginning when the disciples asked him, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And he said, "Neither, that the glory of God may be revealed." So not all disease or blindness is a result of sin or a punishment of God. The second thing we can understand or know is that physical ailments can affect the spirit. Physical ailments can affect the spirit, and a diseased spirit can also affect the body. A diseased spirit can also physically affect our body. Why? Because we are both body and spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit as one individual. So we'll speak very briefly this morning about what are some of the causes of spiritual blindness and how can that be healed. The first type of spiritual blindness is the bondage to sin, the bondage to sin. And there are many examples in Scripture where we can draw this from. Of course, the obvious one is Samson, right? Samson was one of the judges of Israel between their theocratic rule, the rule by God, where God led them through by Moses, and then the being led by the kings, like David and Solomon and Saul. And of course, Samson's sin, or what bound him, was the sin of sexual immorality. You know, he had, of course, this mistress, Delilah, who was one of the Philistines, and she tempted him. And she told him plainly, "Tell me what's your secret, that why you're so strong and able to defeat the whole army of the Philistines, you know, just single-handedly." And she said to him, "What? Please tell me where your great strength lies, and that with what you may be bound to afflict you." So she tells him, "What is it that, where is your strength? So when I know that strength, they can bind you to afflict you." And this is, sometimes when we read this, it's mind-boggling how someone can listen to someone say, "Okay, I want to bind you and torture you, and tell me why you're so strong." And he tells her exactly why. After three times, of course, he lied to her. And then the fourth time he told her the truth and exactly what happened. Just like the first three times, she called in the Philistines. They came in. The first three times they failed because he lied. And then the last time he said the truth and they bound him. What would make him or compel him to tell her this secret? It's this bondage to sin. When we're bound to a sin, it blinds us from the reality. It blinds us. Like, you'll find, like, people, for example, who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, right? And they go back and they know that this physically hurts them. They get a temporary pleasure in the beginning, but it physically hurts them. and it can torment them, but yet they still kind of go back to it again and again and again, knowing that it's hurting. The same for this, the sin of sexual immorality, right? When you get into this kind of, you know, temptation and the sin, it's tormenting. It's really tormenting. And it affects how we see and view our brethren. And we see in this this example of Samson, what did they do immediately after they caught him? They plucked his eyes. They plucked his eyes. So we see here his spiritual blindness led to his physical blindness. Spiritual blindness led to his physical blindness. And spiritual sickness, as I said, often has physical ramifications. So we can't say and categorize our sin, this is just a spiritual sickness, but it has no effect on the physical body. This is a grave mistake. The sins we commit, even in secret, will have an effect even on our physical body and our overall health in general. Because we are human and we are one, body and soul and spirit. Another example is Judas. And his sin was that he loved money. And we understand this from when the Lord was sitting with the disciples and the woman came in and poured the very costly spikenard oil on the feet of the Lord. St. John tells us, he says, and of course Judas said, this is such a waste, we could have taken this money and given it to the poor. But St. John tells us that he didn't care for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was in it. So he had this desire and this passion for sin, for money. Ultimately, one of the reasons that led him to sell the Lord. Again, we look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh's primary sin or the bondage was his arrogance. He couldn't stand to be told what to do or to be that somebody could have authority over him. You know, back in this time, the Pharaohs were gods and the Caesars considered themselves as gods, right? So now you're coming to tell me there's a God who's above me. I won't accept this. Even after each of the plagues, in each one his people suffered severely. But even as he saw his people suffer, he continued in his arrogance. Even the night when his child was taken from him, he gathered his army and still pursued Israel in the, out in the wilderness. Why? Because of arrogance. It blinded him from the reality that people are dying and your people are suffering because of your arrogance. My beloved, I fear maybe we do this at home. Because of my arrogance, my children are suffering. Because I can't accept my wife or my husband to tell me this or that. Another sin that can sometimes captivate us is the sin of anger and hatred. This causes division among us. Just like Cain. Cain was filled with anger and rage towards his brother. And what was the tip of the iceberg when he saw that his brother's sacrifice was accepted and his was not? If you look at the context of what was written in Scripture, we would say Cain's anger should have been directed towards God because God is the one who accepted and rejected. But he had anger towards his brother that was rooted deep before. And this was just what kind of made him go and kill his brother. But it was this anger and rage that was in him that captivated him. And unfortunately, my beloved, there are some people who become so engulfed in this anger and rage that they don't know what it means to be peace at peace. And if there's a moment of peace, they find something to be angry about and find who I can direct my hatred towards. The bondage to sin, the bondage to a particular sin can be a cause of spiritual blindness. Ignorance is another cause of spiritual blindness. And we see this in the person of Saul of Tarsus, or who would be later St. Paul. St. Paul was ignorant of the knowledge of Christ. And he was following after the Jewish path, because he was a Pharisee, a very zealot, right? To the point where he would go to other countries, bring the believers back to Jerusalem to try them and have them killed. He did this out of ignorance. So when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, and revealed himself to him, immediately what's the first thing we find when the Lord appeared to him? He made him what? Made him blind, right? He made him blind. As if he's saying to him what? This path that you were walking before, And this way is blindness. When did St. Paul receive his sight? When he went to Ananias, was baptized by him, and he laid his hands on him, and he received the Holy Spirit, then he received his eyesight back. Why? Because this is now enlightenment. And St. Paul describes himself and to Timothy, his disciple. He says, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. So he did it in unbelief. This blindness of ignorance can be attributed to a few things. Number one, it can be attributed to ignorance in Scripture. In Psalm 19, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the word of God is what lightens our path. So if I'm unfamiliar with the word of God, nor do I read it, where will I find this light in my path? Are you think we're going to get it from the wisdom of the world? Absolutely not. If you look at now what's going on, there's no wisdom. There's no wise person. Anybody can proclaim themselves and say anything nowadays online and on TikTok and all these different things, and people believe them. There doesn't seem to be a wise person. And the youth, they get their information, even about spiritual things, from this nonsense and garbage that's online. So why don't we spend the time, instead of watching it on TikTok, let's read the real word of God and receive the truth from the source of the truth. We're very good at knowing sports and analytics in sports and knowing politics and who said what and what's going on in this war and that war. And we know what the latest viral video trends are online. We know the lyrics to the latest song. When we come to know the basics of the Bible, it doesn't seem to be there. So this can cause this ignorance in the Scripture and the Word of God will lead to our spiritual blindness and will be easily led astray. Another attribute of the spiritual blindness or of ignorance is knowing God versus knowing about God. It's very easy to know about God because we can read it. Even if we read Scripture, we can hear sermons after sermons after sermons, and we have a good idea of who God is. But this does nothing for me unless I know Him on a personal level. It's one thing to know about someone, and it's a very different thing to know them personally, because then there's a relationship involved. That's the difference, right? That's why in the Divine Liturgy of Saint Gregory, we say about God, as a true light, you have shone upon the lost and the ignorant. You have shone upon the lost and the ignorant, right? His true light, when it shines on us, the lost and the ignorant. So when we don't know Him and we don't have a relationship with Him, we're left in this ignorance. Lastly, the blindness of ignorance can be attributed to following false teachers. Those who either distort, deny, or dilute the truth. Distort, deny, or dilute the truth. St. Paul, when he was visiting the city of Galatia, and he wrote to them a letter, he was very surprised that shortly after he preached to them, they started accepting these foreign teachings. They were still Christian, but they weren't accurate, right? They weren't accurate. And he says to them, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And the Lord said, can the blind lead the blind? No. When I follow a false teacher, then I will build my theology and my understanding of God about false notions. Like if I only listen to people who tell me that God is only merciful and everyone will be saved one day. Okay, I begin to believe this. But what about the idea that there will be a judgment and that God is just, right? And we see it throughout Scripture that God is just as well. But if I don't read the Scripture, nor do I have a relationship with Him, and then I listen to teachers who tell me only one side of the story, then how will I be enlightened? I will be in darkness. I'll be blind. Ignorance and bondage can be easily healed through repentance and having and developing a good relationship and personal relationship with God. But there's one type of ignorance that's very difficult to treat. And this is the blindness, I'm sorry, that's difficult to treat. And this blindness is the blindness of self-righteousness, where I see myself as أنا فهم كل حاجة. I understand everything. مفيش حد زيي. In every subject, right? I understand. And this was the problem with the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees, when the Lord did many miracles and preached in front of them and taught in front of them, but they refused to listen. And it's very clear from this story that a man who was born blind received his sight, a work clearly of God, and they said, oh, well, he did it on the Sabbath. Who cares what day he did it on? But look at the content of what he did, right? That's why the Lord says of them, blind guides who strain out a gnat. Strain out the gnat, but then what? Swallow what? Swallow a camel. They strain out the gnat in the law, but then they're able to swallow a camel. In this scenario, they strained out the gnat, right? And they, about on the Sabbath, he did it on the Sabbath, and they swallowed the camel, right? The healing of a man who was born blind. Self-righteousness can be manifest in different ways. It can be manifest in arrogance, those who have a sense of superiority, and they believe that they are more righteous, and they need no one to instruct them or get direction from. They feel they're often more judgmental. Because I feel I understand, I can make judgments, clear judgments on those who are around me. And often self-righteous people are very defensive. When you go say, Habibi, I think you did this or this, they get defensive and they rebuttal immediately. They deny. And oftentimes, usually, what makes it so difficult is, just as in the addict, they deny that they have a problem altogether. If someone is truly self-righteous, they don't believe that they're self-righteous. It's very difficult to get someone who is self-righteous to say, you know what, I think I am a little bit self-righteous. But if so, this is the beginning of their salvation. Quickly, how is it that we can heal this spiritual blindness from the passage that we read today? The first thing we learn is that we need to consider ourselves as the blind man in need of salvation. I need to consider myself as the person who's vulnerable and weak and have no helper besides the Lord. I consider myself as being blind. أنا مش فاهم. I don't understand. صرتك بهيما عندك, right? I became as a beast before you, right? I was ignorant as a beast before you. When we approach God in this way, as someone who is ignorant, then He can enlighten us. That's why the Lord said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, so your sin remains. Number two is obey the Lord's instruction. This blind man, after the Lord, the healing didn't come when he anointed his eyes with the clay. When did the healing come? When he obeyed, when he went and washed, right? Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Had this blind man had the same, you know, arrogance as the Pharisees, he would say, why would I go? If you think you're somebody big, just heal me now. But in his humility, he obeyed, not knowing even who the person in front of him that did this. But in his simplicity and humility, he obeyed. If I want to be enlightened, I must obey the Lord's instructions. Number three is take time to know him. If you remember in the story, the people came and asked him, who is it that did this? Surprisingly, he knew exactly who it was. He said, a man called Jesus made clay. How did he know? Apparently, when he was doing this, he asked him, who are you? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus. So when they came to ask him, they said, a man called Jesus did this. If you compare this with last week's gospel, the paralytic man, in that gospel, it says what? He who had made me well said, take up your bed and walk. So who was it that made you well? He didn't even know. He didn't know his name. And then later in John 5:13, he says, but the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. So somebody who came and healed him without going into the water, he didn't bother to ask who his name was. I think if anybody did us a favor or left something at our door, we try to call all our friends to find out who it is that left us this nice package at the door. And this man gave him you know, healed him from his paralysis and didn't ask him what his name was. But this blind man did. Why? Because he took time to know him. We need to take time to know him. Take time alone in our room in prayer and reading the scripture, away from the phone, turn it off. Take this time to know him. Number four is persist in seeking the truth. Despite being interrogated and rejected by the Pharisees or even his parents, the man born blind remains steadfast in his testimony. Right? So we need to persist in seeking the truth, even if what's around us is filled with lies. And it's hard now to decipher what's true and what's not. Right? But let's be persistent in pursuing the truth. Lastly, he believed and he worshipped him. When the Lord came to him and says, "Do you believe?" He says, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, I am he who is speaking with you. And he said, "I believe," and he bowed down and he worshipped. We are here to worship the Lord. We are here in the church to worship the Lord. We don't come simply to socialize, although this is one aspect of it. But in the service, it's not time to socialize. It's time to worship. During the sermon, it's time to learn. During the prayers, it's time to pray. It's not time to check the score, to check the news, to plan what I'm doing after church, to set my grocery list. It's not time for that. I'm here to worship. Take time to worship him. And honor, and how we worship him, also, we honor him and his place. We keep his name and his holy things holy. The place is holy. The place where I pray in my home is holy. And I give honor and respect to him when we pray. When we pray, we stand up straight. We don't slouch. When we read the Bible, we're not laying down on the bed. We're sitting up straight. We give him the honor and respect that's due to him. This is what we learned. So, if we want to heal our spiritual blindness, we need to consider ourselves as the blind man. We need to obey the Lord's instruction, take time to know him, persist in seeking the truth, and lastly, believe and worship him. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.